Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I am going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too. I am really, really excited to talk about this movie.
Okay. Next we have Pete. Pete, how you doing tonight?
Hey, just for you guys, I'm gonna stay one day in here.
Steve, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I think we use the teacher method of where we just ignore them.
Ignore them. Okay, so guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up, and I was gonna put it out there, we need your hints though on what you want us to watch starting in like August, because there's not much coming out. So send us a message on what you want us to do that. But for this week, we are going back to 1996 with The Hunchback of Notre Dame. This follows Ronald Reagan as he goes across campus and
that's the Gipper.
That is the Gipper. Yes, I know. What's the name of the actual movie on that, though? It's not the Gipper. It's
America. It's like, something All American or something like that.
Newt Rockne All American.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this movie is Hunchback of Notre Dame. It follows Victor Hugo's story, kinda. You have Quasimodo, who is a I don't want to use the term differently shaped person with a hunchback that is probably still my second favorite person with a hunchback in a movie, Igor. Yeah. Igor. But it basically follows him and how the judge in the story is it Judge Fro? Is it Frodo?
No, Frollo.
Frollo, okay.
Like YOLO, but with a fr.
I was like,
that's the best description.
And so it is all about how basically he has kept him, he saved him from his mother instead of, instead of Cogsworth actually being the one that saved him.
Right.
And because that was David Ogden Stiers. And it's all about how Quasimodo is stuck in the upper bell towers of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And it's all about how he wants to go out and see people. Well, he goes out and sees people and is made the king of fools or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then is basically embarrassed and harassed and made fun of until Esmeralda, the scantily clothing, flexible, voiced by Demi Moore, as opposed to the next week, there was a character that was a flexible, scantily clad Demi Moore that came out. This literally came out 1 week before Striptease did.
Wow.
So, but Esmeralda is a gypsy who takes pity on him. And then there's the captain of the guards who has come back and basically figures out that what he's been doing is bad, and he should really respect Quasimodo, and he falls in love with Esmeralda, and so does Quasimodo, but Quasimodo ends up basically saying, okay, you two can be in love together. And Frollo basically tries to discount the idea of sanctuary within the cathedral, and is yet another one of the people who falls to Disney villains who falls to his death. So, that is the short version of a long Hunchback of Notre Dame. Yes, it's only an hour and a half, but nah. So, but I want to know, what about this worked the best for you? Okay, Pete, and I'll let you start.
Oh, okay. I really enjoyed this. It's been a while since I've seen it. I think at this point, this is late in the Disney Renaissance, there was still influence from Jeffrey Katzenberg in this movie, in that he had kind of greenlit it and everything like that. This was truly a, like, much like Beauty and the Beast, this was truly a musical. However, it was not a kid's musical, but I think it really still worked. I really did enjoy the music. I didn't think it was over long. I know you're well, you say that all the time, but I thought it told the story fairly tightly. I mean, there were some songs that could have gone, and I could talk about that and the things I didn't like, but I thought overall I really enjoyed what they did with it. To me, they were really trying to channel Phantom of the Opera a little bit with this. You know, that had been came out maybe 6-7 years before this, and I think they were trying to do that kind of musical. So yeah, I think the music in it, for the most part, really works, and the visuals are really good too. Steve, what about you?
Same thing with you. I really like the soundtrack that matches up with sort of this medieval France time. Some of the animation visuals, especially the opening scenes, very impressive. I've watched a few YouTube videos talking about how just the music and like the song Hellfire. Really enjoyed. And then my other half really enjoys Out There. Is that the one that Quasimodo sings? That he thinks it's one of the best Disney songs ever. So I'd say those things.
I can see that conversation.
Half of it, I would agree with him.
Yeah. What about you, Derek?
I find very few things wrong with anything the incomparable Mary Wicks has ever done. And as Laverne... because you have Victor Hugo and Laverne, who was actually named for one of the Andrews sisters for some reason. This was the last thing Mary Wicks ever did. She actually passed away before she was able to completely finish her lines, but the gal they got to do here blended pretty seamlessly. But some of her lines, I think the moment that made me chuckle out loud is in the last fight scene. When she sends out all the pigeons.
Yes, yes.
You is the da 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 da.
I caught that.
So that was the moment that was probably the highlight for me. Kate?
So I want to preface this by saying I did not think I was going to like this movie at all.
Have you seen it before?
I saw it as a kid. And I
it's
saw
not
it as a kid.
It's not
I
a also, kid's movie.
It is not a kid's movie. It is absolutely not. I can see kids enjoying like the topsy-turvy number and like certain things, but this, the political, the unrest undertones of the very, very adult undertones of this movie almost knocked the wind out of me as like just it's so good. But I feel like I watched this movie as a child. It was not on my regular rotation, which is interesting because it has good music. Excuse me. But I really enjoyed this movie. In fact, a lot of times when I'm watching things for Plus Platoon, I'll have it on and I'll like be watching it while cleaning my house or something. I had it on in my bedroom and I was planning on cleaning the room and I had to sit down and just watch the rest of like I couldn't keep cleaning because I just wanted to watch this movie. The music is very, very good. I thought, oh, I'm talking too fast. You know, I know one of you said that one of the songs could have gone. I thought the songs, each song added so much beauty and was so good. I could not, and I didn't want to look it up because I wanted to try to figure it out myself. The voice of one of the gargoyles was Jason Alexander.
Yes.
And I could not place his voice, but I knew that I knew it. Just so good. The way that they wrote, the joke of when Phoebus, what's his name? Phoebus?
Phoebus.
Phoebus. when Phoebus is like, I didn't know you had a kid. And it's the goat. It's the kid goat. It just.
Did you know the only reason they named the horse Achilles is so he could say Achilles, heel.
Heel. Right? Brilliant. Yeah. One of the most powerful parts in this movie is when Frollo, who is arguably one of the scariest villains, he's not scary because he has horns and fire. He's scary because he's real. Like, I've met Frollos, you know? Like, that is why Frollo is terrifying, is when Frollo yells silence and Esmeralda yells justice. Like, oh my God, I just gave myself goosebumps. This movie is so powerful. It's so good. This movie was so unexpectedly good. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, if that's what worked the best, what should be among the true outcasts? What should have been gotten rid of out of this movie? I'm going to start with Kate on this one.
Oh. Yeah. This is
no, Steve wants it. Steve wants it.
Steve, you go.
Because Derek's probably going to hate me, but I think the gargoyles should have gone. I think it distracted from the overall dark tone. It's very dark movie.
As a full group, I completely agree. There were a couple moments I enjoyed Merriwicks, but as a group, they all could have gone away. I completely agree.
Like, I understand that they're there to help move Quasimodo's character along in some parts, but it distracted over from this really dark tone, which is not, for me, was not bad, but it just like, I think they're trying to lighten up, make it a kid's movie when it was definitely not a kid's movie. I mean, that would be my biggest, get rid of the gargoyles.
And especially their song.
Yeah, that was what I was talking about. This one song that I would get rid of is that song.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll agree with you on that. Because that was the one part. I'll say it when I get there. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Because I'm going last because I'm sure I've got plenty to say. So,
That was the one. That was the one song that I was like, why are we pushing romance between Esmeralda and Quasimodo? Like, can we not? And I get it. Like, it's part of the story, whatever. But that I would agree that song is not needed, especially knowing that she's not going to end up with him. Like, that song wasn't needed. This movie is not a kid's movie. In any realm, this movie is not a kid's movie. This movie, there are parts of this movie that are very, very ugly and are really hard. When they were throwing nooses on Quasimodo, and like, yes, they were throwing tomatoes at him, but like, they were throwing nooses on him. And the discrimination against the gypsies and
well, locking those people in a building and burning it down.
And I mean, burning it.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you have seen the movie The Patriot, but they pull that crap in The Patriot, and I like refused to continue watching the movie. So this movie is not a kid's movie, and I think that it should have some kind of a
pre-warning. It was rated PG when it came out. So.
I will say, how do I put this? Because I was thinking about this. This movie, and I understand that I have the sole voice of this other than Gina in the background, but as a woman watching this movie is hard because how Frollo obsesses with Esmeralda when he like creepily holds her and smells her hair, you know, and she calls him on it. They don't explicitly say what he's thinking, but
they do in the Hellfire song.
That's fair. This movie, like that is why I find Frollo so scary. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but like I've met Frollo. I've met people who are like, the devil's tempting me with your tank top. The devil's tempting me. You must be a demon. I've never had anyone say that, but you get it. It's this is not a kid's movie. And it's crazy to me how, what year was this movie made in, Derek?
96.
how unbelievably relevant everything that this movie talked about, how unbelievably relevant it is in today's world.
Expected Frollo to start smoking a cigar, but that's a whole nother story.
This movie, I just did not expect to like this movie. So I really, really did. I'll be really honest. I did not want to watch this movie. Of everything we've watched lately, I did not want to watch it. But I was like, well, I have to for Plus Platoon. It'll be fine. And I ended up having to watch it by myself because my husband is at an event tonight. And it was so good. But I think I liked it, one, for the music, and because it is just so relevant, which is also terrifying that the craziness that went on in this movie is so relevant.
Well, it's not that relevant because I don't think anyone likes Frollo. Anyways.
No, but are Frollo.
We're not going to get that direction. So anyway.
Okay. I just have to make one comment. So I agree with what Steve said. I think the gargoyles, particularly Jason Alexander's characterization of the gargoyles, is just too goofy for this movie that is. And there's like moments of goofiness in this movie. And again, it's Disney making an animated movie. I'm sure as they were making it, the higher ups were watching this and going, okay, can't we make it a little funnier or something, please? Do we have to have the hellfire? It's just two pieces that didn't work. Like the main body, I think, works pretty well. And then there's these little bits in there that just don't fit in because they gotta try to appeal to kids. The other thing, like in 1996, like Demi Moore was the most beautiful woman in the world. And I find it so distracting that they made her look just like Demi Moore. It just takes me completely out of the movie in every scene that she's fine in the role. She didn't sing. They had someone else sing for her. Yeah. But
her suggestion, she did not sing.
Yeah. She was a really good actress, but she's not a singer. I don't think it's a her problem. It's a me problem that I just like. It pulls me out of the movie that it's like I'm watching Demi Moore.
I'd agree that how she was animated, it was sometimes too much of a focal point. I don't know if that was purposely done. Like, in time she on your screen, your eyes definitely were drawn because she stood out so much.
Right.
And I remember when I was watching, I'm going, that looks, because I totally forgot she had voiced the character. I went, that looks a lot like Demi Moore. And then, here's why. So,
well, and like even the character was like more realistic looking than any of the other characters. Mm-hmm. So maybe
the prince.
Phoebus or whatever his name is. Yeah. But like everybody else was very cartoony. Even Frollo was pretty cartoony. And then you have this like realistic image of this character. And as I said, I just found it a little distracting. It didn't take cups of pixie dust off the movie per se, but it takes me out of the movie, which is not something you want to do with an animated movie. And I also found that Kevin Kline did that a little bit too, because he was very Kevin Kline doing Phoebus. I just kept thinking of him in Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. For me, what should have been Outcast was 95% of this movie. The movie was boring. The movie, you don't really feel sorry for Quasimodo. And you really don't.
Okay. They threw nooses on him.
Okay. You feel sorry for him. You don't empathize with him. Do you understand the difference?
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
Okay. And the songs and the plot, if Disney was going to do a sequel to this that has better songs and a more interesting plot and just about as happy, Hunchback 2 should have been Les Mis.
Les Mis is too long.
But the music's better, and you know the story holds up better. I mean, And it's definitely not a kid's movie. So, yeah.
Oh, by the way, they did do a sequel to this.
Yes, I know they did. did anyone else catch the fact that the voice of Quasimodo was also the guy who did Mozart and Amadeus?
Yes.
That's who I kept hearing. But it's just the music. I think this is one of Alan Menken's weaker contributions, to be perfectly honest. Okay, except for the one he did right before this, which was Pocahontas. I thought the songs were a little bit better than that. But Alan Menken, and when you realize he was given the choice of several projects and he picked this one. Now, looking at what came out of Disney after this, I don't blame him. But, okay. Was Atlantis a musical?
No.
Okay, because it was by the same people who did this one. The directors of this one then did Atlantis, The Lost Empire.
Okay, that's
and you can
believable.
See that in the visuals, especially of the captain. Looks a whole lot like the character. He and the Demi Moore character look a lot like they could have been taken from the Atlantis images.
See, I felt that way, but I was thinking the movie The Prince of Egypt.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same feel.
Which came out a year later. Two years later.
Prince of Egypt and Atlantis feel the same to me.
Prince of Egypt is a fantastic movie.
Okay.
And the music in it is so good.
The visuals feel the same.
Yeah. That's a DreamWorks movie, but it's Katzenberg's first movie with DreamWorks. Yeah. So, yeah.
I find it rather amazing that Michael Eisner feels that this is his favorite of all the animated movies they did while he was there.
It's a powerful movie.
Yeah, but you got so many better.
That's fair.
Yeah. Pete's face kind of sums it up. It's, I think actually it's bad enough that Pete froze. So.
What a great face to freeze on.
Face to freeze on. Okay, so. We've talked about how, I'm going to drop Pete down for just a minute till he gets his computer back together. But is this a Disney movie? It's got musical. It's a musical. It's got all sorts of singing on it. It's got a love interest that comes true. The bad guy dies. But is this a Disney movie? Kate.
Well, you forgot to add in, even though we all kind of agreed that they didn't so much help the plot, it also is a Disney movie that it has comedic relief sidekicks, right? A lot of movies have comedic, even though, yes, it distracted from the movie. No, it didn't exactly help. They did. That is another staple for Disney movies is having that comedic relief sidekick. So I've been thinking about this. I'm going to say yes, but I would argue this is, if not the darkest Disney animated film. Can you think of anything else that would...
Black Cauldron.
I see. I don't remember Black Cauldron. Was it Black... Black Cauldron wasn't animated, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. I don't remember Black Cauldron. Can anybody think of anything other than Black Cauldron that is as dark as this movie? I would say yes, but this is how Disney would do a dark movie. So, but I would say yes. Yeah. Steve, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Kate. Exactly. Yes, with a little asterisk, but incredibly dark, a way they wanted to give it a try. So, yes.
Okay. Pete, I think you're back. What do you think? Is it a Disney movie?
I don't think he's
again,
back.
Again,
Oh, yes, he is.
Maybe he's not. Okay. I'm going to go no, because music alone does not make something a Disney movie. Disney movies should not be a... you shouldn't have to be 10 to 12 to not be freaked the heck out at a Disney movie. The songs, there's not an Under the Sea in this.
Yes, there is.
No.
It tries, but it's not there.
It's not there. There is not a banger in this whole thing. Other than Out There, there is not a banger. When Out There, the second half of Out There and God Help the Outcasts are the two best songs in this thing.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. It just, to me, a Disney movie has to, your target audience has to be at least 6 or 7. I mean, just because younger than that, they don't care. It's bright colors and cool. Older than that, it's, I mean, there's no, yes, you're back, Pete. Yes, there is no upper age limit to a Disney movie. But if they are, pardon me, says if they already knew it didn't work with Black Cauldron, why did they try it again? So, Pete, what do you think? Is this a Disney movie? You're going to let you try one more time.
So I don't think this is a traditional Disney movie. I'll say that. I think what they were trying to do is they saw what Beauty and the Beast did in terms of awards and things like that. They saw, the potential for doing a full-on musical. Again, I compare it to Phantom of the Opera, which I would also would not consider a Disney movie.
Oh, no.
They were basically trying to do that. They were trying to put out a musical that was going to be important and it was going to be award winning and it was blah, blah, blah. It didn't really win anything. It was successful. It made like $350 million, which, was still, it wasn't as big as The Lion King, but it did better than Pocahontas did.
Wow.
So I'm kind of with you, Derek. This is one of the least Disney feeling Disney movies. And, again, the parts of it that are Disney feel thrown in. I think this is an adult animated musical. And Disney wasn't known for that. And it was kind of amazing that it even got made.
For $100 million.
I still think it's very good. But I'm going to go with you. I think it's not really a Disney movie.
Okay.
I think we're going to have a wide range of pixie dust.
I guarantee we're going to have a wide range of pixie dust on this one. Because I already know what mine's going to be. Okay. So any other thoughts or are we ready for pixie dust?
I'm ready for pixie dust.
Okay. I just think that this was such a good movie.
Let's roll one of your pixie dust rating, okay. Kate. What are you going to give this?
I give it a 4, which is a very high rating for me. It is so dark. I probably won't watch it again for a while, but if this was on, I can't say I wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't listen to the music. I would be interested to maybe see a stage version of this.
This is as good to you as Emperor's New Groove and Miracle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think, but again, I was moved partly because of how relevant it is.
Okay.
That is partly what moves me. Steve, you go.
I'm going right below you, Kate, at 3.5. Yes, there's other things out there I'd rather enjoy, but overall, I liked that Disney tried going dark, and I still would actually enjoyed the movie. So 3.5.
So I don't know if they ever did this on Broadway, but my daughter was in this musical in high school. So they definitely have done it. I've seen it on stage several
times.
What
a dark show to do in high school.
Yeah, our high school guy liked to do the really, he did Miss Saigon and things like that.
What?
High school? I hope there's a high school. There is a high school version of that, though.
Yeah.
Did they do Les Mis? What other shows did they do?
No, I don't remember.
Hair?
No, they didn't.
I have issues with that.
I'm going to go 3.5. I'm very close to a 4, but man, I get things I give a 4. I really, really love a lot. So I kind of got to go with a 3.5, but I think this is personally a really, really good musical. I enjoy this a lot. So
I am thrilled that the three of you enjoyed this.
Derek's going to give it a 1.5.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Called it!
This was the first time I had ever seen this.
Okay.
So it just, part of it is if I don't want to have to think.
And again, let's point out, Brave Little Toaster, much right. better movie than Hunchback of Notre Dame, according to Derek.
Yes. Yes, it is. Although we also put this in where I put this about the same level as the Great Muppet Caper. So hey. Pete and I are, you know, but
I'm nicer than you are.
This just didn't work for me at all. And it, there's a reason I never watched. I very rarely missed an opening day of a movie. I had missed this one and now I kind of remember why I did. So
I'm surprised, Pete and Steve. I thought you guys were going to rank it lower than that.
No, I mean, I think it's a wonderful musical. I'm picking on Derek. I can totally get why you wouldn't like it. It is very dark. There's a little bit of humor in it, but it's of a very serious tone. Almost all the songs, even Topsy Turvy, is not that.
Yeah,
funny.
It's not great.
No, it's not good.
It's not a great.
Not
message.
Happy.
Yeah.
No.
So, you know, I totally understand, especially why someone's a big Disney fan would be like, this is not for me. So I get it.
And that is very much me. So,
yeah.
Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Not very much. We literally only have The Devil Wears Prada 2 will be coming to Disney Plus on July 29th.
Yeah.
I've heard mixed reviews.
Yeah.
So I've heard mixed reviews. I'll watch it probably, but.
Guys, yeah. Either of you seen it? Did either of you see it yet?
Not yet.
No.
No. Okay.
I will watch it. I mean, whether we do it or not, I will watch it probably.
And this will honestly probably be one where we will have people watch it. And if they think it's good enough for a whole group watch, we'll watch it. Otherwise, to be perfectly honest, it may get a pass. So. Okay.
But if our fans suggest something instead, we'll watch that.
We'll definitely watch that instead. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Next week, our 4th of July show, 250th anniversary, kind of, 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Let's put it that way. Of America's independence, not even close. But we're going to be watching The Liberty Story. It is an old Walt Disney Presents or Disneyland, or it's one of those shows. It is in black and white. Not that that's bad. But the first half is basically the somewhat interesting parts of Johnny Tremaine, including the Boston Tea Party, I believe. The second half is a animated short called Ben and Me, where it's a mouse voiced by Sterling Holloway. Think Roquefort in Aristocats. Hmm. It looks more like a different mouse. I can't picture it right now, but anyway. As basically Ben Franklin's sidekick, think it's Remy in the American Revolution.
Without the cooking.
No. But the electricity. So
Is Fievel Goes West, is that Disney?
That's DreamWorks.
DreamWorks.
So the original American Tale. Otherwise, we would have definitely thrown that on the list at some point.
Yeah.
Because the original is great.
Yeah, it is.
Again, scary at the end, but kid scary. Not.
I wonder if it's actually great. You know how we watch stuff from our childhoods and some of us have been like, that didn't hold up.
And it would be about a 2.5 or a 3 for me. I've watched it in the last couple of years. So from what I remember, it'd be about a 2.5 or a 3, which is about middle of the road for me. So So if you have suggestions, though, please send them to us at plusfortune@gmail.com. If there's something you absolutely want us to watch next week for 4th of July and you can send us an email by Saturday morning, we'll change over to it. But we also need stuff for August, September, and beyond. So send us emails at plusfortune@gmail.com. Send us messages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, everywhere. We answer all the messages we receive. We have new episodes every week on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Steve, and Pete, Gina in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of The Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to The Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make The Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to The Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for The Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.